Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to move out of diesel. So make the move to Toyota and our incredible range of self-charging hybrid electric cars. With contributions of up to €3,000, join the thousands of hybrid drivers enjoying lower taxes and cleaner air. You'll never take a wrong turn with Toyota, Ireland's best-selling car brand. Visit your dealer or search Toyota Hybrid. Toyota. Built for a better world. Terms and conditions apply. Best-selling car brand this year based on most recent published monthly figures.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Points, Planet F1's very own podcast. Last week we focused on the news that kicked off silly season, that Sebastian Vettel's leaving Ferrari and Carlos Sainz will replace him. This week's episode is all about the third big announcement we've got, that Daniel Ricciardo will be replacing Sainz at McLaren from 2021. Joining me to discuss the Aussie's move is Michelle Foster, the site's editor. With all this news, it really does feel like Formula One's getting closer to returning, doesn't it?
I tell you what, this news has been absolutely fantastic. It's building up the anticipation ahead of hopefully a July start for the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yeah, it really is. And it's created such a strange situation that we've got all these big moves confirmed before a race has even taken place.
The teams cope with having drivers who are literally in the last year of their contract and knowing that they're going into it. I mean, what do you allow them to say when it comes to development? Do you favour the other guy over them given that they're leaving? It poses a couple of interesting conundrums ahead of the, hopefully, as we said, July start of the 2020 season.
Yeah, definitely. And as we mentioned, two of the drivers in those boats will be Vettel and Sainz. The other's Daniel Ricciardo. So before we get into talking about what Renault may do in replacing him, let's talk about the decision that Ricciardo's made. So he's opted to ditch the French team and join fellow midfield outfit McLaren for 2021. First things first, why? Why do you think he's taken that decision?
When Danny Rick decided that he was going to leave Red Bull, he had two options. He had McLaren and he had Renault. And he went with the Renault option, believing that it was the worst team and therefore the better one. Whereas McLaren at the time was a customer of Renault. They had also come off three horrible seasons with Honda. So no one was really sure where the McLaren program was going and what it was going to do. So he decided that Renault would be his best option. And then promptly McLaren beat Renault. McLaren got onto the podium. Renault and McLaren then announced that they're going to Mercedes engines, and suddenly Renault didn't look that great of a prospect. So he's jumped ship. Like literally a year after his first race with Renault, he's gone, well, I'm actually leaving.
Yeah, in terms of resources, I guess Renault and McLaren, there's not too much difference. You know, Renault are a works team. They have a lot of facilities and budget, And before last year, they were beating McLaren pretty comfortably. So is it a knee-jerk reaction from Ricciardo, do you think? He saw them, saw McLaren beat Renault one season and, you know, took his chance. Some people have called it, you know, knee-jerk reaction, a sideways step. Do you see it that way?
I think it is a sideways step because Renault and McLaren are pretty much on a par. Although McLaren did beat them last season, it wasn't by like a massive mauling of any sort. The problem is, like, the Renault program, after they bought the team back from Lotus, it just hasn't gone anywhere. They've made promises, they've gone building blocks, building years, building this, building that. And at the end of the day, they haven't built anything. The team feels like it's really stagnated, and there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. Whereas McLaren is a team that has won world championships. They then, as I said, they made that move. They dropped Mercedes engines, went on to Honda. It turned out to be an absolute nightmare. They sort of put two, three years into place, rebuilding with Renault, and now they're going to jump up onto the Mercedes engines. So I think overall they have really shown that they're a team that's coming back, that's fighting back, and that wants to fight back. Whereas Renault, like I said, they seem to be stagnating. So is it a knee-jerk reaction? Maybe. I don't know. It's probably going to be one of those, unfortunately, time will tell sort of moments. But it does kind of feel like it's the right move for him.
Obviously, for drivers, the most important thing is how the car performs on the track. But I think another reason might be as well that McLaren, they just seem to have such a better atmosphere, I guess, in their team. Yeah, if you look at, if you go back to Drive to Survive season two, and you've got, I just think that the atmosphere at Renault the whole time has been pretty terrible. You've got Cyril Abitbol, who, I mean, you can tell from his comments when Ricciardo left that I don't think he's the best people person, the best, you know, man management. You know, I don't think he ever had a particularly good relationship with Hülkenberg, and it all seemed very kind of muted at Renault, I think. Whereas if you go to McLaren, you've got, I mean, just look at what Sainz and Norris got up to last year. You know, I think it's a much better atmosphere for the drivers. And that must be something that Ricciardo took into account as well.
I'm sure he did. I mean, A, he gets on really well with Lando Norris. But McLaren, like you said, they seem to be a lot more relaxed than Renault. And yet the irony is they also seem to be a lot more driven, but more of a, like, we're going to do this together. There seems to be a lot more harmony. I mean, last season, Danny Rick's first with Renault. Cyril came out late in the year. I can't think of his exact quotes, but he basically said, like, Danny Rick had been almost a disruptive force because he had come along as a driver who was used to winning and used to getting on podiums and stuff, and he wasn't getting that with Renault. And it was a really strange criticism of a guy who's supposed to be your star driver and the one that he wants to push you forward. So I think, unfortunately, that goes to say a lot for Cyril's management. Yeah, you know, like you say, he doesn't seem to be the friendliest of chaps. I mean, I've never met him, so I can't really say. But there's been a lot of history with him dropping drivers, not being very supportive of them. And now the tables have turned. You know, Daniel Ricciardo isn't supportive of the Renault program. He's seen another life, another path, and he's jumped at it. And as you say, you can't really blame him for that one.
No, you can't. I think if you look at all the various reasons combined, I think it really is, it's a good move for him. Yeah, so you could even argue that being lead driver at McLaren Mercedes is actually going to be better than being the number two driver at Ferrari, which is the opportunity he missed out on to Sainz. Obviously, he's in his 30s now. Zach Brown has said that, you know, well, Ricciardo came out a few weeks ago himself and said that he still thinks he can win a championship. Zach Brown said that he can join the team and go into immediate championship contention. I mean, obviously, that entirely depends on the car. How much do you think he can really achieve in the remaining years of his career? I mean, do you think McLaren are going to be his last team in the sport?
I think chances are McLaren will be his last team. I'm hoping Danny Rick puts down roots. You don't want to be the guy who jumps around every 2 years from team to team. The fact that Ferrari hasn't taken him and instead chose Sainz, kind of closes that door, I would say completely. It's not, Danny Ricks at Ferrari is no longer ever going to happen. So he's got a really good chance with McLaren. Will they be winning championships in 2021? I don't think so. Will they be on the podium? Yes, because I think, as we all know, 2021 is pretty much going to be a continuation of this season. Come 2022, when the rules change, the budget cap comes into play, and McLaren is, it's so strange because they're one of the big Formula One teams. They've won so much, and yet they don't have a budget to go with Mercedes or Red Bull or Ferrari. So they're used to playing with tighter margins. I think that's really going to play into their hands come the 2022 season. So maybe that year, who knows, we might have Danny Ric winning a world title with McLaren. I think at the very least, though, we would have him taking the fight to the top teams for McLaren.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, what I want and what he wants, I think what most fans want is just to be able to see him back on the podium again. I've missed the Shoeys, however disgusting they were. I think, as you say, 2021, the regulations aren't going to change, but they're still changing their engine, which you basically have to imagine the current car for this season. I mean, obviously, we don't know how quick that's going to be, but if you go by last season standards, if you just put a Mercedes power unit into that car, then I think, podiums were definitely doable. They already got one podium in Brazil. So, I think he can definitely get back onto podiums, and who knows what can happen in the next few years. Maybe Mercedes will want to pull out, and then McLaren will get far more support again for the engine development side. So, I think I can definitely see why he made the move, and I just hope it works out, really, because especially given his personality, it's so easy to forget that he's actually one of the older drivers on the grid now. So onto the team he's leaving behind. Ricciardo leaving is a huge blow to Renault, especially as he's leaving for a midfield rival. He was the man they were going to build their revival around, I guess. What do you think their reaction was when they heard the news? Do you think it was a massive disappointment to them, or do you think, you've already mentioned quotes about Cyril seeing him as a bit of a disruptive force. How do you think he felt about the move?
I think Cyril made it abundantly clear that he was not happy. He went and questioned Danny Ric's loyalty and commitment, without actually saying the guy's name. But, I mean, it was a statement relating to his departure, so we all knew that was aimed at him. It's also an interesting one because Renault now have Esteban Ocon at the team. And he's a French guy, so maybe, I don't know, maybe Danny Ric saw the writing on the wall there and that Renault would rather build a team around a French guy, which, I mean, you can't really blame them for. So I kind of, like I said, I get why he left. Whether it's a good move or not, only time will tell. But, Cyril didn't help the matter, and he definitely didn't help the matter in his response. I think there's going to be a lot of really cold shoulders going on in the Renault garage this season.
Yeah, I think the weirdest part of all this is you have to consider that they still have to spend an entire season together. I think Cyril's statement would have been a bit borderline, even if Ricciardo was leaving immediately. But the fact that he came out and said it, it's like he completely forgot that Ricciardo is still going to be driving for them for another year. Yeah, it's just nuts, I think. But anyway, moving on to who's going to replace Ricciardo. We actually asked all of you listeners who you'd like to see take it. So we did a Twitter poll, which included Alonso, Vettel, Hülkenberg, and an academy driver. And in some less surprising news that we've received in the last week, Fernando Alonso won pretty comfortably. Yeah, he got 41% of the vote, with Hülkenberg on 24%, academy driver 21%, and Sebastian Vettel 14%. So, Vettel not too popular there. And it's actually the same story on our Facebook, where we asked the same question and asked you to put your comments below. And there were really few for Sebastian Vettel, really. I'll just read out a few. We had Salil Kumar Naik. He said, Alonso if they need a proven championship driver, otherwise Hulk. Dana Larkin said go back to Hülkenberg, he got the royal shaft. And Anya Cheek said, Bottas, Seb to Mercedes, please. So there was still some for Vettel. And actually, that idea of Vettel going to Mercedes and Bottas going to Renault was a really popular one. Bottas kind of emerged as one of the more popular options. Forgetting, you know, realism, what will probably happen or what could happen, who do you think would just be simply the best option for Renault in terms of driving ability?
In terms of driving ability, it would have to then be Vettel or Alonso. In terms of what's going to happen, I don't think it's going to be Vettel or Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into it. I think, you know, despite all the flaws, and there's the part of me that thinks it would be nice to have to see Alonso have an actual, well, you know, not come back and spend more years in the midfield and tarnish his legacy further. Yeah, there is a part of me that would still just love to see him back. Obviously he's been teasing on Twitter and all that, and people have got excited, but yeah, I think it'd be the best option, but I can't see it happening. So most likely options then, let's go through first. Nico Hülkenberg, could you see that happening?
I could see it happening, but a part of me actually wants to go, I hope Nico, if they do come knocking at his door, turns around and says to them no. Like we said, he got shafted there by Renault. It wasn't a fair decision. He'd given him a lot of years, a lot of time. And yes, you can argue that he never got onto the podium. But was it a podium finishing car? Not really. I think he should look to Formula E or something like that rather than taking the Renault race seat.
Especially if you look how they treated him when they decided to ditch him for Esteban Ocon. You know, I know that's how the sport is, but I still think it's really harsh because, yeah, like you said, he didn't get a podium, but he still, most of the time, he drove the wheels off that car. You know, I think he single-handedly got them best of the rest in the championship in 2018, I think it was. I think he did a really good job there. And I think they will go for him, to be honest, if they can't get Alonso or Vettel. And I think he probably would take it because he'd want to get back into F1, but it would be nice to just, you know, see him put up his middle finger to Cyril and say, you know, nah, I'm good. But yeah, it's something I can see happening. And on the bright side, we do get to see him back in the sport. Maybe he can finally get that podium that I think he does deserve. And then the other option was obviously an academy driver. There's a few interesting ones in the lower formulas. Do you think they might go that way? Or do you think, obviously, Ocon's not the most experienced driver himself. Do you think they'd rather someone a bit more of an experienced head?
I think they need someone with a bit more experience. I mean, aside from the fact that Ocon's not the most experienced that they've ever had, he also spent last year on the sidelines. And yes, it was with Mercedes, so it's just sort of like a test driver, A-plus style. But yeah, he wasn't racing last season, so they need someone with experience. Are they going to get someone with experience? I don't know. Like I said, I don't see Nico Hülkenberg jumping up at it, or at least I hope he wouldn't. I really don't see Alonso or Vettel taking it. Either of those would be fantastic stories, but, you know, as Martin Brundle came out and said to you, do either of them really want to spend 3 years sort of on the Renault journey trying to get it to where it needs to be a podium finishing car or even a race winning car? It's going to take years, of which I don't see either of them actually being open to putting in that sort of effort. Both Alonso and Vettel are championship winning drivers. They're definitely race winning drivers, and that's what they should be. So I think Renault might actually have to turn to one of their youngsters currently in Formula 2. Like you said, they've got to pick. There's a wide range of drivers there for them. It just means that they will be having a very inexperienced lineup. So they've got to sort of balance that with their ambitions. One of the other things that Renault, they've been harping a lot about money recently. I mean, Cyril would like to see drivers' salaries included in the budget cap as well. So maybe they will be more inclined to head for a F2 driver and someone that they don't have to pay a lot.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the most likely option, hasn't it? Just going, obviously, you know, we've said Alonso and Vettel probably won't happen. I do actually think Alonso is probably the more likely option of the two, just because, I don't know, I think Vettel is going to be a bit more rational and calculated about it, whereas, I don't know, I mean, we all know that Alonso is not the best at making career decisions, especially in Formula One, so I think he does really seem fairly, I don't know if desperate's a bit extreme, but yeah, kind of desperate to get back into the sport. So I can't see Vettel at all. Maybe Alonso. Obviously, those reports came out last week about that Renault was signing Alonso for 2021 with Liberty footing some of his wages. Do you believe that at all? Or do you think, because it came from fairly reliable sources, but it seems like a pretty unthinkable thing to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, that wouldn't even make much sense to me. I mean, I get why Liberty would want to foot Alonso's bill. He is a championship winning driver. He's a star. He's a guy who attracts the fans. It would definitely pique interest in Formula One if he was back on the grid. But my thing is, like, if Alonso wants to return to Formula One, why would he be demanding 30, 40 million? Yes, he is a $30-40 million driver, but if he really wants back on Formula One, surely he'd be asking for a much lower wage, or be willing to accept a much lower wage, probably a better way of putting it, in which case he would fit into Renault's budget. But like I said, you never know with Formula One what's going to happen next. I mean, like you said, Liberty Media, they need stars, and they especially need stars at the moment, now that everything's taken a bit of a hit with this extremely long hiatus, so maybe they won't put the ball. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense from their perspective, and it would be really exciting to see him back and would be good for the sport. But I mean, if they were helping Renault pay wages for one of the best drivers on the grid, I mean, the other teams wouldn't be particularly happy about that, would they?
Yeah, I don't think that would be fair, especially when some teams are struggling to survive. Sorry, the banging in the background is not me kicking my laptop. It's the neighbors doing some renovations by the sound of it.
Okay, that's, you know, making the most of the lockdown period.
I know, just bad timing if ever there was. But yeah, I mean, you've got teams like Williams who are literally struggling to survive. Haas apparently are also in financial trouble of note. So for Liberty Media to go and say, well, hey, we'll pay 20 million for Alonso's wages, that 20 million would be a lot to a Racing Point, a Haas, a Williams. Hell, it would even be a lot to a team like Aston Martin. So I don't think the other teams would be open to that idea. There'd be some sternly worded letters being passed around, we can say.
Yeah, I could definitely see a joint statement released by all the teams happening again, which I'm sure the FIA and Liberty wouldn't want. But yeah, who knows? Like I say, it was fairly reliable sources that released the information. So I don't know, maybe we will. Anyway, that's everything we think about Ricciardo and Renault. Silly season's obviously well underway because of that move and Vettel's. What do you reckon will be the next seat to get people talking? Probably the most likely one's the Mercedes seat, isn't it? With both of their drivers technically out of contract end of this season.
Yeah, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before rumors start putting somebody else in Valtteri Bottas' seat. That seems to be pretty much how his career has gone all his life. I don't think anyone's going to put anyone in Hamilton's seat, according to the rumors. That's now, with the Ferrari announcement, that pretty much seems to be just a matter of time before Mercedes announced he's sticking around for at least another 2 years. So I think pretty much, like you said, the next big rumor will either be he's taking Bottas' seat, or after we find out who's got the Renault seat, if they use an experienced driver, who's taking that guy's seat then?
Yeah, it's all just a big chain of dominoes, really, isn't it? I think, I think the Mercedes seat will be the next big one. Purely, I mean, because among the sport, every year people just seem to have zero faith that Bottas will do enough to keep the seat himself. And he has done so far, to be fair. But I think with George Russell waiting in the wings, even Esteban Ocon, that could really change things up a bit. Yeah, I think it might finally be the year that Bottas loses that seat for George Russell. Can you see Bottas going to Renault if that's the case?
Yeah, I know it. I'd probably see Bottas going to Renault before I saw Vettel going to Renault.
Yeah, I think I could definitely see it. I think it does. He is the experienced head, and he's still a good driver. And it's a better move for him than it would be for Vettel. I think it's just a case of whether Mercedes go for George Russell or not. But yeah, we'll see, I guess. You know, who knows? Maybe next week's episode will be responding to the news that Vettel has signed a new deal with Mercedes. Although, yeah, can't see it myself. Michelle, thanks for coming on. And enjoy all the work your neighbours are doing.
I'm not sure if it's home renovations or home destruction. It's sounding a bit more like the destruction part, if you ask me.
Maybe the quarantine's broken them. Who knows? So thanks very much, as always, to everyone listening as well. I'm sure you already know by now, but make sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page, Planet F1, and our Twitter page, Planet_F1. Yep, don't forget that underscore, so that you don't miss all the latest news and our question for the next episode. So yeah, thanks again. Stay safe, and see you next time. Bye.
Trying to recruit someone right now? At irishjobs.ie, we know it's just one more thing on your endless to-do list. Somewhere between preparing Friday's presentation and picking up dinner. That's where irishjobs.ie can help. With almost 1 million registered career seekers in our constantly updated talent bank, you can be sure you'll always hire the pick of the bunch. Take that to-do list. Get a fresh perspective on your recruitment. Visit irishjobs.ie/hire.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.